20 to 29. And before we dive into God's word, let's go to his throne in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. What all the wonderful things that you have done, that you are doing, and that you will do. Father, we love you so much. Lord, and I pray this morning, as we come with expectations, Lord. And I pray that that would be our heart, Father, this expectation, that this wouldn't be just a thing that we do on Sundays, Lord, but we come expecting to meet with you, to hear from you, Lord, to see how you would work in our hearts and lives, Father. And I pray that that would be our heart, because you are faithful, Lord. And so may you speak through your word. And may you meet every expectation, Lord, from every heart that's here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The studying of this chapter has been so amazing. These men and women, these Old Testament saints who loved the Lord, pressing onward, never quitting, living out their faith in this world, being that example for you and I, for us to follow. And last week we looked at the faith of Jacob and Joseph towards the ending, the latter part of their lives, how they looked towards the promises of God and prepared as such by faith. And we looked at the parents of Moses, Amram and Jochebed, and the three things that was pointed out in the teaching of their faith was one, that faith will always pursue God's will and his righteousness, no matter what the consequences. Because we read of them in the passages that they were not afraid of the king's command. And the second thing is that faith will unite believers and strengthen them. Because you see, husband and wife, the parents of Moses, we read that they hid him for 3 months from the king, from Pharaoh and his orders. And the third thing was that faith will give you spiritual eyes, because the parents, by faith, they saw that Moses was a beautiful child. And they saw all of these things. This morning, we will look at the life of Moses and his life of faith. And in these verses, the author looks at examples of Moses' faith while he was in Egypt. And that's very interesting, because there's nothing written here in the account of Moses in Hebrews 11 that talk about the 40 years in the wilderness. That was a lot of faith going on there. And yet, by the Holy Spirit, the author chooses to focus on Moses' faith, looking at his separation from Egypt in order to follow God, no matter the cost. You see, by faith, Moses chose to walk away from all of it. He chose to walk with God. He chose to identify with the people, the children of God. And this speaks so loud to Christians today, because so many don't want to separate from this world. They don't want to depart from Egypt, so to speak. You see, in the Bible, Egypt is a picture of this world. Egypt is a picture of sin. Egypt is a picture of pleasures of this world that pull us and keep us away from God. And a lot of Christians think that they can have their cake and eat it too. Meaning that, oh yeah, I go to church and I'm a Christian, but I still do this in the world. And that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. We need to separate ourselves from this world, from Egypt, the same way Moses did. And also, when we look at the life of Moses, we see that he is a type of Christ. You see, Moses was rejected by his own brethren the first time that he came to them to help them, to save them while they were in Egypt. And so Moses leaves, and when he returns, that's when his brethren believed. and we're saved. You see, that's what Jesus Christ did and has done and will do. Because when he came to this world the first time, his brethren rejected him and hung him on a cross. And they told him, we don't need your salvation. But there's coming a day at his second return when his people will see and recognize and acknowledge and bow their knees and say, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. So, Hebrews chapter 11, let's start in verse 24, and then let's read all the way through down to verse 29, and then let's break down these amazing passages. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. And so in the first two verses, verses 24 and 25, the author refers to this account involving Moses. And so I want us to turn to the book of Exodus chapter 2. So that we can understand what is taking place and why the author is reading this. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. My wife kindly reminded me, honey, please slow down. So I'm trying. Thank you for your grace.
I just get so excited. God's a word.
Exodus 2, chapter 11. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And then when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? Then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now, there is another account of this in the New Testament, and I want you to turn to Acts chapter 7. So go into the New Testament, go to the right. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. In Acts chapter 7. I love it. I hear pages ruffling. Okay, looking with me at verse 20, we read, at this time Moses was born and was well pleasing to God. And he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him, who was oppressed, and struck down the Egyptian, for he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brethren, why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed them away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. So from these verses, we see that Moses was 40 years old when he killed this Egyptian to protect this Hebrew. And then if you were to continue reading in Acts 7, this account, and also in Exodus chapters 3 to 12, you would see that that Moses left Egypt, and for 40 years he was in Midian. And then God called him, and he said, I want you to go back to Egypt, and I want you to free my people. And so he's 80 years old at this time when he goes back to Egypt. Yeah, men and women, you 80, God can use you. Don't ever think that, oh, I'm too old. Moses was 80. And he obeyed, and he was used by the Lord. And in the verses this morning that we've read, we're going to look further into the things that transpired with Moses during this time in Egypt. Examples of faith for you and I to glean from and apply to our lives. In Hebrews 11, we read that by faith, when Moses became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now keep in mind, Moses was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He was royalty. Everything was at his fingertips. He was well-versed and educated. Everything that he could possibly need or want was at his feet. But once he observed and studied for himself the afflictions of his people, and I believe recalling and meditating upon all the words of God that his mom and dad spoke to him while raising him up, all came back to his remembrance, and a change took place in his heart, and he believed. And we see that his faith in God took deep root, and he desired to follow the God of Abraham and to be with his people, the people of God, the Israelites, the Hebrews. You see, our faith in the Lord sets us on the right path. And that path is the path of his righteousness. And in that, we refuse the path of this world, just as Moses did. By faith, we draw that line in the sand and we choose Christ. And just like Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and to be in that family, we too need to refuse this world and the titles and the names that it wants to put on us. Progressive, diverse, inclusion. Come on. Really? But that's the names that the world wants to put on you and I and say, you need to be this. And if you're not this, we have no part of you. And you know what? By the way, yeah, we might even put you in jail because you're not going with the flow of things. That's the world that you and I live in. And this example of Moses says, I refuse that. And that's what you and I need to do by faith in God. Refuse all this nonsense, because that's what it is. It's rubbish. Don't buy into any of it. We stand on the word of God and his promises alone. Not what this world tells us. And so we draw that line in the sand. And so I ask you, as my brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, what side of the line are your feet standing on? Proverbs 4, 26, 27 says, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Don't turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. You see, we can't stand over the line. We need to pick a side. Jesus said in Revelation 3, 15 and 16, if you want to be lukewarm, saying if you want to straddle this line, one foot in church, one foot in the world, he says that he will vomit you out of his mouth. That's hard words. Those are serious words. Are you listening to that? Are you taking that to heart? Moses did. Moses had the world at his fingertips, but he consciously chose to walk away from it all to pursue God and identify with the people of God by faith, and so should we. You see, faith that fills our hearts also fills our boots. And what that means is that you say you have faith, show me. Show the Lord. Not to be lifted up and praised. No, that has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with the love of Christ that's in your heart. And all you want to do is please Him. And that's what the boots are. Putting them to walking. Putting them to work. And then in verse 25, you read that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. And I love this. Because Moses saw and knew the affliction that was being poured out on God's people, and he still wanted in. He saw all of it, and he says, I want that. I want to be a part of that. You see, by faith, Moses understood that this affliction was real, but it was temporary. Because he looked to the fulfilled promises of God and to the reward. You see, our faith involves a cost, but it's so worth it. And I speak from experience. You see, in this affliction, it could be family and friends teasing you, mocking you. Oh, you're one of those Jesus freaks now. This affliction could take place in your workplace, where now your co-workers want nothing to do with you, or you're passed up for a promotion. And I'm speaking of things here that we know that we can relate to. Now, when we look at third world countries and what's going on, understand this, people are being executed for their faith in Christ. Do you know that? Do you understand that? And I look and I pray and I talk with God and I say, Lord, stir our hearts, because you have given us an open door to proclaim your gospel. Why aren't we doing it? When you have men and women that are literally being hanged and their heads taken off because they profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they are unashamed of it and they are proclaiming that. Do you understand that? Pierces my heart. But this is where our faith is truly tested, isn't it? But this is where we are to persevere. The author of Hebrews addressed this, if you guys remember, in chapter 10, verses 32 to 39, he wrote to these Hebrew Christians and he told them, but recall the former days in which you were illuminated. You endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an everlasting possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Man, great words of encouragement. Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, 12, and also to the multitude, he said to them, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then in one more passage that I want us to look at, Gospel of John 15, verses 18 and 19, Jesus once again speaking, he says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And so knowing these things, it gives us so much more understanding and depth to the words that Joshua spoke to all the Israelites after they entered the promised land. And they conquered the lands, and all the lands were divided. And Joshua was about to pass away and go home to be with the Lord. And he calls all the Israelites together in Joshua 24, 15. And he says, choose you for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, understanding the cost. And yet he still said, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So encouraging. And here in verse 25 of Hebrews 11, the author makes it clear what Moses did not choose. It says to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And notice the contrast in this verses that we read. One, identify with Christ, the people of God, and suffer affliction. Or enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Now the world looks at this and says, that's a no-brainer. Are you serious? Come on. But the man and the or the woman of faith looks at this and says the same thing. That's a no-brainer. Come on. But you see, that's what faith does. It opens our eyes to see what is real, what is important, what is of the Lord, and what isn't. And we say yes, and we follow. And we walk away from this world. You see, faith looks to eternity. The world only sees the now and the pleasures of it. By faith, Moses had spiritual eyes to see that the pleasures of Egypt, that they were sin. And they were temporary, and he wanted nothing to do with it. But what a clear picture of sin. I kept reading these passages over and over again. You see, the pleasures of sin will always be temporary, but its consequences eternal. If you do not repent and turn away from it. And many of you can testify to this. Chasing the world, chasing sin. You know that it always leaves you empty. And never fulfills. It does temporarily for a short period of time. And then you're back to that big hole in your heart. You see, only the Lord can fill that. It is only then when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and live by faith that that hole is filled. And you're no longer chasing this world. You're no longer chasing things to fill that. Sin has one purpose. Its desire is to destroy you. You remember when we read about Abel earlier in Hebrews chapter 11 and we read of the account in Genesis 4? You remember what God told Cain when he brought his offering before the Lord and the Lord said no? Cain got angry and his countenance fell. And the Lord told Cain in Genesis 4:7, he says, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you. That's the battle. understanding that, oh yeah, that looks fun, that looks so amazing. But knowing that it's killing you and destroying you, that's its whole purpose. To separate you from the Lord, to keep you from walking in His light and being salt. You know, isn't it interesting that beer commercials, they never show the next day? You ever stop and think about that? When you watch it, what does it show? Woo, everybody with six packs and fun and everybody's laughing. But they don't ever show you the next day when you wake up in jail and you have a DUI because you just hit somebody. They don't show you the next day when it shows the people in your family that you hurt because of what you said to them and because of the things that you did to them. They don't show you the next day when you're lying on the floor sick to your stomach, throwing up. They don't show you the next day when you're unable to remember what you did or what was done to you. They don't show you none of that. Sin is fleeting, but this is so descriptive of what it is and what it does to you and I. Why do we do it? We need to stop. We need to stop. Moses chose to walk away from all the sins and pleasures of Egypt. It was dead to him. No going back, physically and in the heart. You see, we can physically leave Egypt, but Egypt can be taken with us in our hearts. It starts in our hearts. We need to repent, let it go, knowing and understanding its purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, because of... there's this bacteria called MRSA. And I know Jessica is very familiar with this. She's an amazing nurse. Some of you other medical professionals. But what it does is that once it gets into your body, it starts to take over cell by cell, and it literally kills and destroys your flesh and your body to the point where if it gets in your bloodstream, or not even just from that, it can kill you. And I thought to myself, man, what a picture of sin. Because that's exactly what sin does. Sin is sin. There's no, oh, fifth degree, first degree. Sin is sin. You allow that little piece of sin into your life, guess what it's going to do? It's going to start to eat the rest of you. Trust me, I'm talking from experience. And so we need to die to that. We need to say no, and we need to walk away from that. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Dead, done, D-U-N, no more. The other night, my wife and I were sitting in our office, right? And I was doing the study. And out of the corner of my eye, I catch, there's a centipede on the ground. Big one. Big, you know those wine-eye centipedes, bro. But they get gold chains. They just, this was a big one. I was like, oh, big centipede. So this, it went to run under the, so I flipped the chair over so it wouldn't go under because that's where it was running to. I said, babe, get on book. So she, God bless her, she picks over this thin, flimsy book. Throws it on the centipede. The centipede threw it off and looked at me and said, what? I go, honey, get a big book. And so she brings a big book and I start pounding the centipede. cut it in threes. So there were three sections, the head, the tail, and the middle. Right? And it was still moving, so I kept smashing it like, dah, dah, dah. And so it stopped moving, and so I go, okay. So I get back up, and I go to the chair to finish, right? I was like, I'm not going to let that distract me. I'll clean it up later. So I'm sitting there, and I'll say maybe a couple minutes later, I look over and check, one piece is missing. I go, honey. So she looks it up. Can see the piece survive? Got to invite you. So she's looking it up. I'm like, oh, babe. I was like, oh, well. I was like, Lord, fast forward a couple of minutes. I feel something on my foot. The pincher, he made his way to me. Why not send a piece, brother? Thank the Lord I felt it. I lifted up my foot over and and I was like, and it was after that, because I'm doing the teaching and this part, and I go, Lord, I go, thank you. But you just showed me what sin is like. You see, we need to get rid of it completely and destroy it completely. Otherwise, it's going to come back and bite us. So the next time you think of sin, you think of a centipede. Flesh eating. That's what sin does. Why would you want any part of it as children of the living King? Verse 26 and 27, we read of Hebrews 11, tells us that by faith Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. You see, a life of faith identifies with Christ and finds the fullness of this life in the riches of the cross, not in this world. Luke 9, 23. Says this, then he, referring to Jesus, said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Please don't walk around sounding like Eeyore. And I know I said this before, but it's such a great example. It's a great picture of my mind. As a child of the King, walking around drooping with your ears, with a sad face.
I'm just carrying my cross for the Lord.
Please don't do that. You see the words that we just read that are written here? It is the greatest riches. Your faith in Jesus Christ, your walk with the Lord, it's greater than the treasures of this world. All the gold, all the money, keep it. You can have it. I want Jesus. And if that means that I have to identify with the reproach of Christ, then so be it, because esteeming the reproach of Christ, it means to consider the reviling of Christ. To identify with the Lord and walk in that, keeping our eyes fixed on eternity. You see, Moses looked to and believed in the promised seed and all the promises of God, and he counted it greater riches than all of the money, all the power and pleasures of this world. And he did this because he looked to the reward. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, we read this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And it's so amazing because Moses looked to the coming Messiah, to this promised seed. When he brought the nation of Israel before him, before they went into the promised land, he says this to them in Deuteronomy chapter 18. That's in the Old Testament, verses 15 through 19. Check out what he says. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Moses said that, speaking of Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. And when we look at Moses' life, we see that he led the nation of Israel out of Egypt back to the promised land, even taking the bones of Joseph with him, fulfilling that promise. Everything that Moses did, he did by faith, believing in the promises of God, believing in God himself, even though he never entered the promised land. Think about that. He never entered the promised land. That has a lot of meanings in and of itself. But when we look at Moses' life and the faith that he had in God and identifying as a child of God, these were greater riches to him than this world, than this life. If you remember in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5, when the author mentions Moses, he writes this, and Moses indeed was faithful in all his house, talking about God's house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken of afterward, pointing to Jesus Christ. And this reward. You know, it's very interesting, this word reward, because a reward comes after, doesn't it? You don't reward someone before. A reward comes after. And that after refers to our life here on this earth, our faith in the Lord. What are you doing? What am I doing? As a child of God, looking to the reward and the promises of God Almighty, and to be in heaven for all eternity with him. And that's what Moses looked towards. And then in verse 27 of Hebrews 11, we see that by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And this word forsook, it means to abandon. And I love this because there was no seven-step process with Moses. There was no gradually fading out. Moses said, I'm out, deuces. And he left. He cut all ties. He said, I'm done. Because he understood the power of sin. And he needed to cut those ties. And this is how you and I need to live in this world. You see, we are in this world, but we are not of it. We just read that. You and I are not of this world, but we're in it. And so we have to work. We got work to do. We have a plow to put our hands to. We have a race to finish. All of us, wherever the Lord has placed you. And when you abandon the pleasures of this world, when you abandon sin and you turn and you walk away from it, oh, how glorious it is. And we focus on the things of Christ, because time is short, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Time is short. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Finish the race strong. And in this we see that Moses walked by faith. He had no fear of the most powerful ruler in all the land at that time. He had no fear of his laws or his armies or his wrath. You see, faith in God brings the fear of God, not of man. And we talked about this last week a little bit. We don't walk around in a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. That's the Lord's heart for us. And it's interesting because fear comes in all shapes and sizes. It might not be in the form of a person or the power that they have, this worldly power that they have. Your fear may be sharing the gospel with your family. That might be your fear, or with your friends. Or speaking out at your job, knowing that you might lose your job. Or telling your husband or your wife about Jesus Christ, knowing that it's going to make them upset and you're going to get into an argument or a fight. You see, we need to know this. Faith in God always cancels out fear. When we allow fear in our lives, it begins to cripple and it begins to ruin your life and my life. Because now we run and we hide and we walk away from that which God has called us to. And I love this last part of verse 27. We read, "For he endured and seen him who is invisible." Moses lived his life every day in the truth of God's eternal existence. You see, God was real to Moses, even though he didn't physically see him. He was more real to Moses than this passing world and all that surrounded him. And this is the faith that you and I need to have. This is the faith that was written of in the very beginning of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. That's faith. This word endured is katareo, and it means to be strong. It means steadfast. You know it's only used here in the entire New Testament? And in the context in which it is used, it's speaking of our faith in God, the strength of it, the steadfastness of it. The only other reference to this word is in the Old Testament, and it's used once, and it's in Job chapter 2, verse 9. You see, after everything that happened, that God allowed to happen to Job, he's sitting there, he has taken a potsherd, and he has lost everything, and he's peeling off the boils that's all over his body. And his wife comes up to him and she mentions this word to him because she refers to his faith, his steadfastness in the Lord through all these things. And she tells him, curse God and die. Job did it. He never sinned. He continued to have faith in God. You see, God is real, and our lives need to reflect that. I need to live my life every day knowing and understanding that He is real and that he is everything to me. Look at in verse 28, Hebrews 11. We read, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, in Exodus chapter 12, we have this account. You see, Moses has returned back to Egypt at this point. God sent him to free the Israelites. And so, there were plagues that God brought upon Egypt. Well, this is the 10th and the last and the final plague. God said, Moses, I'm going to send a destroyer in the land of Egypt, and the firstborn of all mankind and animals I will kill, so that Egypt will know that I am the Lord. And he tells Moses, he says, you tell the Israelites, and he does this, he brings the elders. He says, you tell the Israelites, you need to go and get a lamb of 1 year, a male, without blemish, pointing to Jesus Christ. And he says, you need to sacrifice that lamb, and you need to take the blood of that lamb, and you need to put it in a bowl, and you need to get bunches of hyssop, and you need to dip it in this blood, and you need to go to the door of your home that you guys are going to be in when I send the destroyer upon the lamb. And you're going to take this blood and you're going to sprinkle it on the doorpost and the lintel, so that when God's righteous judgment comes upon the land, he's going to see the blood and he's going to pass over it. And that's why it's called the Passover. And all of this is pointing to Jesus Christ. And I love that, because Moses was living this out by faith. All of it pointing to Jesus Christ. You see, today, that's why you and I are saved. That's why you and I, our sins are forgiven. That's why God's judgment has passed over you and I. Because when he looks at us, he sees the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And we are protected. And he says, oh, you're mine. I see my son's blood on you. How beautiful is that? That's so awesome. And then in verse 29, closing here, we have this account in Exodus chapter 14. You see, now the Israelites have left Egypt. After this account took place, Pharaoh said, go, leave. And as they leave, all the Egyptians are giving them all their gold and stuff. And says, yeah, take this, get out of here, go, leave. And so Moses takes them, 600,000 men, we read, which means that you would triple that. So approximately 1.8 million. Sorry, my math. Woohoo! That's a, why not? That's a lot of people. And so they leave and they go. And so the Lord takes them out towards the Red Sea. And so they're, and this is a condensed version, right? And so they're out there, and then all of a sudden they see Pharaoh and his armies. And they're coming towards them. Well, there's no place for them to go because of the position that they were in. You see, God orchestrated all of this. And so the people see. And this is what's interesting. Because in Hebrews 11:30 it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. When the people saw this, they argued and they complained to Moses. There was no faith going on there. And so I was reading this and I was like, Lord. And I kept reading it. You see, what this is talking about in context is Moses. You see, because Moses cried out to the Lord. Moses sought the Lord in this account. In Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, this is what he says. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And I looked and I said, oh, Lord. Go and understand this. Your faith encourages the multitude. You see, the people of Israel heard Moses and saw his faith, and they were encouraged. And because of that, they obeyed and they followed. And they went through the Red Sea on dry land. And in this account, we know that Pharaoh and his armies go through to follow, and the seas are closed on them, and they all die. And that's how that sea verse is. I'm sorry, but looking at this account, it's so amazing. And I was like, wow, Lord, 1.8 million people, and all we read is the faith of one man. And it inspired them, and they followed. Don't ever minimize what God can do through your life. Don't ever do that. That's a lie from the enemy. You shine your light, you walk in faith, and just watch what the Lord does. So beautiful, yeah. Let's pray. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to do communion this morning. So while we're praying, the worship team is going to come up. Mikey is going to lead us this morning as we do communion.
Yeah.
If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, partake. This is for you, because we do this in remembrance of Jesus Christ, believing in him and what he did on the cross. So you come and you partake. And if you have not believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a day of salvation. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you want to pray and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you just say these words after me. You just need to believe in your heart. You can say it out loud or you can say it quietly. So let's do that right now. Pray this prayer if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Father God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you came, you died on the cross, you rose from the grave, and you ascended into heaven. I ask that you come into my heart, and that you be my God and my King. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father God, I just want to thank you for the truth and the power of your holy word. The encouragement, the life of Moses, Lord, ultimately pointing to you in everything. And I ask, God, that we would do that as well, that our lives would always point to you. Father, that we would walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.